I want to say good morning now to Dr. Nancy Nielsen. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Morning, Jay.
All right, Dr. Nielsen, always such a privilege to be able to talk to you, especially when a lot of these controversies revolving around COVID-19 emerge. We need a little more understanding in some of the stories that we're hearing about. And the big one this week, of course, AstraZeneca and their trial for their COVID-19 vaccine. I don't think Americans have followed clinical trials as much as they have over the last year when it comes to these vaccines. So a lot of concern about a lot of the questions that are coming out of this trial. Why don't you walk us through it here, if you could?
Well, AstraZeneca messed up on this one, it appears. It may not be a terrible mess up, but it certainly was not necessary. Here's what happened. In a press release on Monday, the company announced that their vaccine was 79% effective in preventing symptoms and 100% effective in preventing serious disease, hospitalizations, and death. So that's great. Here's the problem. The independent experts appointed by NIH, the Data and Safety Monitoring Board, wrote a letter to the company saying, wait a minute, you've used outdated information. And here's what we understand. The numbers that they released were based on an interim analysis of data up through the middle of February. But there was other data gathered after that, and the monitoring board had asked them to review some cases that might be potential COVID cases. So AstraZeneca went on to say, we're doing this, but it's about the same. Here's the problem. There was an analogy given by one of the federal officials, which I thought was really good. It's like saying, you know, you got an A on the midterm exam, but maybe not such a great grade on the final. So what you release is I got an A. And that's the problem. It is not good. And it resulted in an unprecedented rebuke from NIH. So I think AstraZeneca has a lot to answer for. And the problem is, suppose the percentage is not 79, but maybe closer, 69 to 74, which is what people think it might be. That's not a big change. The problem is they've undermined the confidence in the company.
Yeah, and most certainly can appreciate that. At the same time, is there a learning moment here when it comes to the consumer that these trials are being reviewed by officials and making sure that their procedures are done correctly?
Absolutely. It should reassure the public that the independent experts are not in any way afraid to call out a company that overstates its claims. And it may not be a big deal, but the fact is the independent experts were doing their job. And there's a second lesson, and that is we should never take a manufacturer's press release as gospel.
We hear about a third wave of the virus making its way through Europe. Some are saying it's also happening in Ontario. Meanwhile, here in New York State, many of the pandemic-related restrictions seem to be easing. What are your concerns moving forward?
Well, I think we need to be concerned. And if you listen to the county executive and the county health commissioner in Erin County in their press conference on Tuesday, there has been an uptick in the cases locally and in the hospitalizations locally. So I think we do need to be concerned. But let's talk about Europe. It turns out that there is really a third wave throughout much of Europe. Germany, France, Italy, they're all having dramatic surges in cases and hospitalizations, and they're imposing strict new shutdowns. It's thought to be two reasons. One, the UK variant, affecting people who have not yet been vaccinated because that variant is more transmissible. But it's also, at the same time, the public health measures were eased. So it's probable that it was eased a little too soon. And from our standpoint, I have to tell you, when I see the pictures of Miami Beach and Texas, where large groups are congregating without masks, I think we have to, as a country, brace ourselves. We've been much more measured here, so I doubt that we'll get those big increases. But as I mentioned, we're already seeing some local increases.
It's also notable how much we continue to learn about this virus. This is from researchers at Northwestern University School of Medicine, finding a large number of neurologic effects from COVID-19 in patients who didn't require hospitalizations. What can you tell us about these so-called long haulers?
Well, this is a really very interesting and frankly concerning report that came out of Northwestern, which was just published this week. And it was published in a peer-reviewed journal, by the way, not as a press release. What they reported on 100 patients who were referred to them because of persistent neurologic complaints after COVID. And those people came from 21 states. And it is really concerning. The commonest symptom was what people have referred to as brain fog. They just couldn't remember. They were doing something, had no idea what they were, why they were there or what they were doing. That plus fatigue were the commonest symptoms, but some others were numbness and tingling, particularly of the hands, some confusion, some depression. Now, remember, these people were referred because they had neurologic symptoms. So this is not the, you know, this is not the average person with COVID, but these long-term symptoms are very, very concerning. And there are clinics across the country that have been established to deal with the, quote, long haulers. There's one at Columbia, there's one at Cleveland Clinic, and there are a variety of other major medical centers that have established clinics to study this, learn from it, try to see if symptoms can be alleviated. In the Northwestern study, the majority of people, somewhere around 64%, were better by 5 months. But some had persistent symptoms as long as 9 months. So we're still learning. One theory is that this could be, what we could be seeing is what we used to call chronic fatigue syndrome, which can be triggered by a number of infections. So we really don't know. But there is no question that COVID affects the brain. Anybody who loses taste or smell, your cranial nerves have been affected. So it's, you know, it's very concerning, and we need to learn a lot more. Another reason why we all need to be vaccinated quickly.
Dr. Nancy Nielsen, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Jay.